Welcome to Reinventing Professionals, a podcast hosted by industry analyst Ari Kaplan, which shares ideas, guidance, and perspectives from market leaders shaping the next generation of legal and professional services.
This is Ari Kaplan, and I'm speaking today with Carl Seelbach, the co-founder of Doyle and Seelbach, a law firm in Austin, Texas, and the founder of Scribe.ai, a software alternative to court reporting. Hi, Carl. How are you?
Hey, Ari. Thanks for having me on.
I'm looking forward to our conversation. So tell us about your background and the genesis of Scribe.ai.
I am a litigation attorney based in Austin, and I've been doing that now for 17 years. And so it's for me, I grew up in Northeast Texas, Henderson, near Tyler and Longview. I knew I wanted to be an attorney from a fairly young age, flirted with becoming an accountant and took some CPA classes in undergrad just to find out that I thought that was a little too boring, and had a fairly straight path and joined a litigation firm right out of law school. Was doing a mixture of litigation, some commercial litigation, real estate litigation, but ultimately found a niche that I just truly enjoy, which is personal injury litigation on the defense side. And that's been my path, fairly straight path. Went, joined a big law firm and then eventually launched my own firm. And my experience in that is part of what inspired me to get involved in legal tech.
How do you divide your time between practicing, managing a law firm, and building a legal tech company?
It's not an easy thing to do. And I guess the part of the question that I didn't get to yet would be, why did I start Scribe? What am I trying to accomplish? And part of that, it overlaps. My mission at the law firm is very similar to the one at Scribe. And that's to empower my team and empower attorneys to get justice faster. And to me, justice is typically getting to the truth faster. And so on the law firm side of things, I'm always coaching my team on, look, go do the investigation, let's do the interviews, let's get the people in the hot seat that need to be in the hot seat, and let's take their depositions so we can move the case down the tracks. It tends to, in the world I live in, which is primarily personal injury, it's the best way to just roll up your sleeves and move the case forward. I had an attorney tell me recently that a litigation file, a case, a lawsuit, it's not like fine wine. It does not get better with age. And so you need to be moving your cases. And so when I was a younger attorney, when I was an associate, I took a ton of depositions and I saw some inefficiencies in that process. It felt to me like it was too slow, for one, for me to get a copy of my deposition record. It cost too much money, right? It was just outrageous, the fees that these court reporting agencies were charging. And to me, video and audio both are very powerful forms of evidence, and it was clunky and difficult for me to work with my video depositions once I finally got them, weeks or sometimes a month or more later. It was just difficult to create clips, to share that, to be able to show that to a client or to a court or to an arbitrator. And so those things inspired me to start Scribe. And Scribe provides attorneys with a way to capture legal testimony at a fraction of the cost, get instant access to a video synced record, and get a professional proofread final transcript that looks just like the ones they're used to within just 3 days of the deposition. So it's really helped speed things up. And so to come back to your second question of how do I divide time between the two, it's a challenge. It really is difficult. I hired an assistant for the first time in the last 6 months. That's helped me quite a bit, delegate things that maybe I should have delegated a long time ago. But as I tell my team on the law firm side, as well as my team on the software company side, I'm no expert at time management. I'm a student, if anything, trying to learn ways to improve my own time management and task management. So it's something it's one of my New Year's resolutions.
What are the advantages of using Scribe versus a traditional court reporter?
Yeah, there's a lot of advantages. I would say one is it speeds things up considerably. Like the cost savings are the no-brainer part. There may be the more obvious part of what we offer at Scribe, because it tends to be anywhere from 50 to 60% less expensive than hiring a court reporting agency for the traditional method. But what we're seeing is the speed is a big deal. That being able to finish a deposition, let's pretend this was a Zoom deposition, which Scribe is powered by Zoom. Actually, we're an official partner with Zoom. If this was a scribe deposition and it ended in 30 minutes, then within an hour, you would have access to a video sync transcript that you could go into. You could read it, search it. You could create clips from it to share with other members of your team to get ready to impeach a witness tomorrow in the next deposition, or not impeach, but question a witness about what another one said the day before. It unlocks the potential to move things down the life of the case faster. And so I think when I took a ton of depositions, I would often wonder as I was drafting the recap based on my notes, gosh, what did the witness say? What I think the witness said? Or did I ask that? I think I asked that question. Am I sure I asked that question? And I would have to wait until I got the transcript to be able to confirm that I did, in fact, ask the question, or maybe I didn't, or maybe the witness didn't say it exactly like I remembered that they said it. And so the speed is a big deal. It lets you send demand letters faster, get ready for the next deposition faster, update your client faster. It's a big piece of it.
As a practicing lawyer and also a legal tech executive, where do you think lawyers should be taking advantage of technology, and where does talent have the upper hand?
I want to give a little bit of background as to how I view technology, but before I give the background, let me more directly answer the question. I think that AI is not going to replace attorneys. I think attorneys who use AI are going to replace attorneys who don't. Is probably the best way to put it. And so you need to survive in this profession and thrive. Let's call it that. Maybe survive is too drastic. To thrive in this profession, you are going to need to embrace technology, including AI, generative AI, other forms of AI. It is going to be what separates the great from the good, or maybe the great from the bad. And I think that we are just, it's scratching the surface. This is really tip of the iceberg moment for the industry. We've seen examples of people who use generative. You hear about the examples of people who use generative AI poorly first, right? Because the news likes to report on things that are negative or just in general. But even in the practice of law, that tends to get more news. And so we've all heard about the ChatGPT lawyers who have filed things with courts that have non-existent cases. That is certainly something to be aware of, and it's a cautionary tale, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't embrace generative AI. There are all sorts of ways to use it, including for things that don't involve legal research, or if you're going to use it for legal research, you could use one of the purpose-built tools like Casetext, like Westlaw, like LexisNexis, who have ways to prevent the case hallucinations. So I think it's going to be extremely important when I think about technology. So I told you I was going to tell you a little bit of a story. I want to give you a short story. When I started practicing law, everyone used paper files. This was 2006 at a big law firm, but everyone was still using paper files. You had file cabinets, you had Redwells, you had, if you needed a copy of the pleading, the secretary went to the file cabinet and got the pleading for you and brought it back to your desk. We still used runners to go to the courthouse to file things. You had to get the paper up to the receptionist by X o'clock in the afternoon, because at 4 or whatever, the runner was going to come pick up the filings and take them to the courthouse. That wasn't really that long ago, right? I don't have too many gray hairs yet. So it was just 16, 17 years ago that we were still doing it that way. And think about just how far the practice of law has come in the last decade and a half. So then think about how much further it may go in the next 10 to 15 years. So I had recommended to my team back then years ago, and I was a brand new associate, and I was talking to a senior secretary and paralegal who had been at a law firm for 20 plus years. And I said, hey, how about for the next file that comes in, we digitize it, and let's just put it all into this new case management system, and everything will be scanned, and we'll have everything at our fingertips. And you would have thought that I was an alien, because it was like, why would we do it that way? And I'm your secretary. If you need a document, just ask me and I will go get it for you. And anyway, after some little bit of kicking and screaming, I convinced them just to test it on one case. And then once we did the one case, they figured out, oh, it is nice to have everything at our fingertips and it is faster. And I've lived the transition from paper to paperless, from manual filing to e-filing, from learning how to research in a physical library to electronic. Now, they were doing electronic research in 2004, 4, 5, and 6 when I was in law school. It wasn't brand new then. But when I walked into the doors of the law firm, there were a lot of partners who still walked down to the library to do their legal research, even though I came up in the generation where we were trained on Westlaw Lexis at law school. So those are some significant changes. And I think we're going to start seeing similar changes powered by this generative AI surge. The quality of automated speech recognition has gone up so significantly that we can have things like Scribe, for example, to record testimony instead of a manual stenographer typing it. Things like that are going to change the future of the legal practice. I'm certain of it.
Does your practice drive business to Scribe, or does Scribe drive business back to your practice?
I don't think so. It's a very good question. Perhaps that's a good business measurement tool that I should consider, or a metric, not tool, but metric that I should consider for 2024. It's certainly not by design, but I would say if one potentially yielded business for the other, it would probably be that the relationships that I have at my law firm could yield and direct business to Scribe. And I say that because I have a lot of respect and good relationships with my opposing counsels. And it doesn't mean we don't fight. It doesn't mean we don't argue. It doesn't mean I don't advocate like hell for my client and they don't fight hard for their client. But I try not to take it personally. And I also try to conduct business and my cases in a way that even if I may disagree with the other attorney, it's done in a professional way. And I think I've gotten a lot better at that in the last 5 to 7 years, really, probably since I started my firm in 2015, maybe, than I was when I was a very young attorney and tend to have maybe a thinner skin and took things a little more personally. But I always tell my team, we want to find out the truth in a case. Our mission is not win at all costs. Our mission is to find out the truth of what happened. And for what we do, it's primarily personal injury. So how bad was this person hurt? Is it our client's fault? And what is a reasonable amount that our client should consider paying to settle this case? Or maybe it's not a legitimate case and our client should fight it all the way to the mat. And so I think by having that mentality and knowing that compromise shouldn't be a dirty word in the context of litigation, my relationships with my opponents tends to be quite a bit better. And so we have several opposing counsels who are Scribe customers, and they know me. They typically see me across the aisle in the courtroom or in a case, but they're still happy to use the software because they know it will help their law firm do a better job for their clients.
How do you see technology-enabled litigation evolving?
I think that it is going to take several different forms. So one is, I think that video, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, for litigators, video is the most powerful form of evidence you can typically have in a case, whether that's video testimony from a deposition, like what Scribe provides, whether that's a video inspection or some type of recreation of an accident. You get to hear the voice. You get to see the grimaces. You get to better understand the tone. You can begin to score someone's credibility if you use video. And so how does that impact the future of where we're going? I think it will become very common for attorneys to insert video clips, URLs, like you and I would share a YouTube video, into their briefs, into their demand letters, into their reports, so that I've filed motions myself because Scribe offers a feature that lets litigators do this, where instead of referencing testimony and attaching 100 pages of a transcript that a judge now has to go read and find, where is that exhibit? What pages did they want me to read? I just give them a highlight reel that here are the clips. You can watch the testimony. And not only is that, I've interviewed a judge. We've interviewed a lot of judges in connection with building this tool. But one of the judges we spoke to actually said, it would be very refreshing if they could just sit back and watch the testimony that the parties are saying is critical to the outcome of whatever the issue is. And one of the judges even said, watching it and seeing and hearing could actually impact how they view that witness and could impact the outcome of that motion. So I think video will play a big role. It already has in the consumer world. You think about on the consumer side, video is how we consume so much, right? Whether it's YouTube or TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, there's so many people get their news from video on their phones or on their laptops or on their smart TVs. And I think the same will be true in the world of litigation, that video will begin to play a more powerful role in how we communicate with each other, particularly remote video and video recordings. The other piece of this, the big one, the one you hear about in the news a lot, is generative AI. It's how big of an impact is it going to have, and how are law firms going to deploy it? And I think of it as a multi-step process, partially because I think it will continue to get better year over year. Right now, today, I think all law firms should consider, all litigation firms should consider using a generative AI tool to help them with their first drafts of pretty much everything. The only one that I would say, caution, warning, be careful, is anything related to case law. You want to make sure you're not citing cases or statutes or regulations that are non-existent. But for everything else, for just drafting a letter on this topic to respond to this email I got from opposing counsel, or a first stab at objections to discovery requests, for taking a large, you know, factual background section and drafting a summary version of that, kind of a too long don't read section. I think that you can use it today in its current form to do that. Where I think it's headed, Ari, is I think it's headed to a point where as it gets better and as we as practitioners get better at using it. So part of it is we've got to sharpen our skill sets and get used to how do we prompt these tools, because that's ultimately what they are. I think as we get better, you will begin to see business owners, particularly at small firms, but even medium to large, start making hiring decisions that are maybe we don't need another paralegal, maybe we don't need another secretary or admin or whatever, because we can now do more with less. We have now, if I need a draft of a letter, I don't have to go send it to a secretary to type it up. I can just dictate to GPT or something like GPT. There's competitors out there. Hey, draft me a letter on the following topic, blah, 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 blah. You say it, all of a sudden you have your first draft formatted for you. Then you can go in and edit it. So I think those two things are going to play a big part in the future of the practice of law. Again, I view it from a litigation perspective. I don't know. I know enough about transactional work to be dangerous, but I would say that, and I don't know if this is ironic or not, but I would say certain aspects of transactional law are more at risk than litigators of being replaced by high quality AI. I think one of the places that in-house counsels, and I have friends that are in-house counsel of various companies, will look to leverage a software solution is in some of the form drafting, some of the contract review, some of the things that truly are, at least an element of the work, is dupe and revise. It's this law firm's forms that are being used again for this type of transaction. It doesn't mean those lawyers will be replaced, but they will be augmented by something that speeds up the process. And what used to take hours and hours and hours to draft the first draft will now take minutes to generate the first draft. And I think in litigation, particularly personal injury litigation, some of that work can't be fully automated, like the investigation part, the taking the deposition part, the site inspections. Those things are going to require human beings to be there and make judgment calls and know what to ask. But I think AI could help us along the way, help us do a better job.
This is Ari Kaplan speaking with Carl Seelbach, the co-founder of Doyle and Seelbach, a law firm in Austin, Texas, and the founder of Scribe.ai, a software alternative to court reporting. Carl, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And if anything, I think software is a chance for us to speed up our practices. And at least from my perspective, from my client's perspective, speed is not only important in the practice of law, it's become a requirement. And the faster we can do things, the more efficient we can be for our clients. We're ultimately the stewards of their money, whether they're paying us or whether it's a contingent fee. And we want to be efficient in everything we do. And that's something that I preach on the law firm side as the managing partner and founder of the firm, as well as on the legal tech company side with Scribe. So I really appreciate you having me on and talking through some of those issues.
Thank you for listening to the Reinventing Professionals podcast. Visit reinventingprofessionals.com or arikaplanadvisors.com to learn more.